Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll be able to join in the conversation. You can give us a call and join in with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. Our toll-free numbers are 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight. And boy, the weather was a little wild here this evening across northeastern Ohio, traveling down into central Ohio across that. And I guess there was a tornado that came through out around Marblehead, Sandusky area and cut down into the Worcester area. And I don't know, as it got awful dark in our area, and it was something else. But we didn't get much in Richfield. It seemed to go around us. The rain and everything seemed to go north and south of us. I sure used the water on the ground. I wish we could get a little bit of what Tropical Storm Debbie was dumping on Florida last week. It is just dry out there. Much of the upper Midwest is suffering from a mild to moderate drought in some areas. So certainly pray for rain, but maybe not quite as much as what Debbie dumped on Florida last week. Well, we're going to get started here with a word of prayer here this evening. Well, let's go ahead. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Help us to be a blessing. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody that's listening tonight. If there's somebody that's searching, somebody that we can be a help and a blessing to, we do pray that you help them find the program and help us to be an encouragement to them, point them to Christ. And just pray that we could just help people to see the need to trust Christ as their Savior before it's everlastingly too late. And Father, we just pray that you bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, got a couple callers calling in already, and you can get on the line here, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, toll free. And you got a question about the Bible, current events in light of God's Word. We're glad to have you here tonight. And we've got a couple callers already lined up, so we'll take them in order. And I believe we have Grover calling from Mississippi here tonight. Grover, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me, Grover?
Hi, good evening. Welcome.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. You're on.
Okay. Hey, you're talking about the weather up in our hometown.
Yeah, it's
going to be down here.
Well, you know, I was looking on a map this afternoon, heat index map, or heat map showing. My sister was on vacation in Myrtle Beach, and I wasn't one bit jealous because I saw on the map that it was over 110 down there where she's at, and
well,
raining.
That's what it is down here.
Oh my!
For eight consecutive days, it's been 103, 104, 106.
That's hot. But good to hear from you. Pardon?
It was 106 today.
Wow. Well, we need to pray for some relief from the heat. What's happening down in Mississippi?
Well, besides winning souls to Jesus, I'm staying in the shade, what I can find.
Well, amen. I'd be in the shade, too.
People, I said, Don, you, I left a white man, and now my Indian's showing in.
Yeah.
But you know what? I preached over... last Sunday, I preached to the thing, and I brought it up tonight in a home. We had a home service because it's a church. It was too hot.
Mm-hmm.
So tonight I said, what if you had Jesus' phone number?
Mm-hmm.
What would you do with Jesus' phone number? And if you had a bunch of friends, right, so-called friends, how many would dial Jesus as first? You know what? That's a question we all should ask. Is Jesus number one?
But that's
right. I thank God that not through me, and I know you're the same way, because that's why I love you, Brother Al. You're just like me and Sanders and Ken, that we preach the word. If it steps on somebody's foot, step up on higher ground, right?
Yeah, and I was going to add to what you're saying about if you have Jesus' phone number. I said, I got Jesus' phone number. It's right in the Word of God. And you just pray, and the Bible says the Holy Spirit will take your prayers directly into His presence. And if somebody's not saved, all you have to do is pray, and God will hear and answer that prayer. And so that's, you got Jesus' phone number in the Bible, in that sense.
Yeah, that's what I told him. Yeah. Right here is the phone number.
Right. Wow. Yeah. I was going to say, I got our caller coming in yet, too. So
is the same way of the church.
Yeah.
You said that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
That's great.
Say hi to Nancy in case you call.
All right. Well, I appreciate that, and thank you for calling and updating us on what's happening down in Mississippi. Stay cool there, Grover, and appreciate that. I'm going to get our next caller on here, too, so thanks for your call. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673, and get you on the air here. And we've got John in Cleveland calling in next as well. And, John, are you there?
Yes. Hi, how are you tonight?
Hi, good evening. Are you staying cool out there?
No. Not really.
It is warm, isn't it? I wish it'd go down and cool down a little bit at night, but, this is summer. It's July.
In the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it talks about the Transfiguration.
Yes, sir.
And Peter, James, and John experienced that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no mention of John in his gospel about the Transfiguration. Instead, he says he has a revelation, which turns out to be the last book of the Bible. And I was wondering if you felt the Transfiguration of Jesus and the revelation of Jesus were exactly the same.
No.
Why not?
Because they're two different things. I'll give you an example here. The Transfiguration that you're talking about, that is recorded in the other Gospels, and there's things that are recorded in some Gospels and not in others. In 2 Peter, in chapter 1, Peter is writing here in 2 Peter chapter 1, and he refers to that event known as the Transfiguration, and he says this in 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in, let's see if I can read this here. Verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard, and notice what he says, when we were with him in the holy mount. And now he goes on to say that we have a more sure word of prophecy talking about the word of God. But when he's talking about on the holy mount, that's where Peter, James, and John had gone up onto a mountain, and Jesus was transfigured before them. They saw him in some of his glory, and also I believe it was Moses and Elijah, I think, that appeared there with them. Now, that took place in the mainland, or on the mainland. John, on the other hand, the book of Revelation starts out not on the mainland, but on an island in the Mediterranean, and John says that he was on the island of Patmos, and he was by himself. Peter, referring to that, is talking about an event where he was there with James and John, so there were three men and Jesus. And they went up on the mountain with Jesus. John, on the other hand, was on the Isle of Patmos, and he was worshiping God when all of a sudden Jesus appeared to him. Here's another change. On the Mount of Transfiguration that Peter's referring to, that took place before Jesus was crucified, before the resurrection. And the revelation of John took place on the Isle of Patmos well after Jesus was crucified, after the resurrection, and after Jesus had ascended into heaven. And completely different things that took place. John Peter, James, and John, they never left the earth. John, in the book of Revelation, starts out on the earth, and in Revelation chapter 4, he's caught up into heaven. And it's revealed to John a whole series of coming future events that are going to occur on this planet. And completely different from the Mount of Transfiguration experience where they wanted to build, booths for Jesus as well as Moses and Elijah.
Well, wouldn't the coming of Moses and Elijah be a future event?
That's assuming that it's Moses and Elijah that are going to come. You're referring to the arrival of the two witnesses in the book of Revelation, which some people believe will be Moses and Elijah. I think personally they'll be Enoch and Elijah myself, and there's other people who would have different suggestions. But Moses and Elijah did appear, or Elijah did appear there on the Mount of Transfiguration, and that was something that had already taken place when John receives a revelation. He did not have them appear to him and reveal that Jesus gave him this revelation, then caught him up into heaven, and then he saw events on earth where the two witnesses were on the earth, and
So you don't feel that the transfiguration would be a future event then?
Oh no, because it's already, as I said, it's recorded in the Gospels as having already occurred. And let me get over there and find that passage on the Transfiguration. And I'm over in Revelation here in 2 Peter. So you
feel that the Transfiguration is over and done with then?
No, you're not following, John. I said that the account in the Gospels was an account of and something that occurred at that time.
Right, so it's over and done with then.
Well, that event, yeah, just like the birth of Christ is over and done with, the resurrection of Christ is over and done with. Let me go back to Matthew 17. I think that's the first one that talks about it. And in Matthew 17, let's just read it, okay? That'll solve that problem right there. In Matthew 17, and it says, let me go back to Matthew chapter 16. Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he says in verse 28, "Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Then in chapter 17 it says, "And after 6 days Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart." So this is 6 days after Jesus made these statements to the disciples in Matthew 16. 6 days later, it says he took them up onto a mountain. And it says in verse 2, "And was," that's clearly past tense, "and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias," that's Elijah talking with him. And it says, "Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." That's what Peter referred to in 2 Peter. And it says, "And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes," and notice it says, "they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen from the dead." So it already happened. Yep. That event took place. That was a singular event that's recorded in the Gospels as having already occurred. Now, many, many years later, when John, as an old man, Peter and James were gone by now, John was on the Isle of Patmos, and John had his encounter with Jesus, who appeared in his glory. And Jesus appears to him on the Isle of Patmos, and begins to give him a series of revelations. In fact, the revelation, the title to the book is in Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. And so he gave this message to John. And then, like I said, in chapter 4, he was caught up into heaven. And then in chapter 1, these are events that took place. Chapter 2 and 3, he talks about things which were taking place, some future, some are now past for us. We're living in the last part of chapter 4, last part of chapter 3, and from verse 4 on, or chapter 4 on, that's all future events that haven't taken place yet. So I'm at a loss to understand why you're confusing this with the Mount of Transfiguration. They're clearly two separate events.
Well, I'm wondering if you don't feel that the Transfiguration is a future event, then you would believe that Moses and Elijah were actually there then, right?
John, I guess we're at an impasse here. thank you for your call. I mean, I don't know how much clearer I can explain it. The Bible is very clear. The event on the Mount of Transfiguration took place. We read that. If somebody won't accept the scripture, I'm kind of at a loss. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673, and I guess I would have to ask something of you. If you have a question, and the Bible says something, and it's plainly there, it's up to you to believe it or not. I can't force you to believe it. And as we saw with our last caller, you know, the Bible clearly said that the event of the Mount of Transfiguration happened in the past. For some reason, he didn't grasp that. And it clearly says in the Bible that there's other events that took place to John that were obviously quite distinct from the event recorded in the Gospels. And unfortunately, if somebody doesn't want to get it for whatever reason, you know, I can't force them to. So I appreciate the call, and but you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight, and we'll talk about just about anything, as our last caller showed. We reach a point where people, you know, don't understand the basic of the English language and understand exactly, you know, when something says it took place in the past, that's what it means. You know, we can't go much further. But appreciate that. We've got another caller calling in, and we've got John and Euclid calling in. And, John, you're on the air live with us here tonight.
Hello, Pastor Al.
Hey, John, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Lord willing, I wanted to ask you something. You know, remember, I think it was last week you had the man on that talked about, you know, witnessing to Muslims. And,
about 2 weeks ago, right.
2 weeks. Okay. Yeah, I think it was 2 weeks.
Yeah, that was Tom Wallace. And actually, you can find his website. He has a program, Fortress of Faith, not on this station, but it's on a number of stations across the country. And about 15-minute broadcast or so. If you go online to fortressoffaith.org, you can find that. And he actually had a seminar at our church engaging Muslims with the gospel, which was extremely informative. We actually have those seminar sessions online at our Late Night Live website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. But go ahead there, John.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's interesting. I heard of that Fortress of Faith before, a little bit about it.
It's got some good material there, yeah.
Well, you know what I was interested in, I wanted to ask you about, because he mentioned about Dearborn, Michigan, where it's like a largely
right.
Muslim.
That's the largest Arab population in the United States is in Dearborn, Michigan, and or concentration, I should say, not largest population, largest concentration, and of course it's got one of the largest Islamic concentrations as a result as well.
Well, I wanted to comment on something, because I mean he mentioned it, but like for the past few years, there's been like various Christian groups go there to, you know, like witness to the people there.
Right.
And that's, I'm sure that's all right. I mean, he did mention somebody, he said, like, one group came and was very provocative, like mm-hmm. a pig's head and things like that.
Right, I saw a picture of that. They actually went there to provoke reactions, and they got them. They really did.
Was that group, do you know, was that this year?
That was this year, yeah.
It was? Okay.
Yes. And in
now,
fact,
I saw something. I don't know if it was recently or not. I just saw it. I thought it was very recent. Now other people are telling me different, but I'm not conclusive on it. But I saw some people who were quite peaceably.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see them. I'm not saying that it couldn't be. You know, maybe they didn't show the whole video or something like that. I mean, I certainly didn't see them with anything like a pig's head or anything provocative. But they were just, they had signs and they had, you know, their T-shirts were, you know, like having a testimony for the Lord. And the people just came up and, you know, it was mostly just kids, really.
Yeah.
Came up and just basically attacked them, throwing things at them and, you know.
Yeah, I heard
really
about
bad.
That one as well. And I think some of that did happen this past year. And, you know, you get people riled up with some of these things, like the guy with the pig's head on a staff. Or on a pole, he was standing there with that. And you get people riled up, and sometimes even though, because I think if I remember correctly, I think the police actually kind of moved people along from that one because it was getting a little tense there. And some of these people go along and, you know, they have all this aggression and anger built up as a result, and then they look for some place to, you know, express it towards. And I think the case you're referring to, if I'm thinking of the same thing, some of the people got angry at some other things. They vented their anger on these other people because some people like Tom Wallace there and the people that he was with, they actually had some really good conversations with some Muslims where they were actually able to talk with them and, you know, try to compare, you know, what they believe and why they were there and, you know, in a fairly good setting. But there's always going to be people, you know, who are going to stir up trouble on both sides.
Well, okay. Well, if I could just tell you a little bit about this then for a
mm-hmm.
minute.
Sure.
Without, you know, spending, you know, going too far in it or, because I don't know all the facts. I mean, I said the people I saw certainly didn't have a pig's head or anything and they weren't being provocative for
right, right.
These really young people were like basically attacking them and, you know, swearing right. and just, you know,
oh, yeah.
It just seemed to me like, I mean, to say they were Islamic would be wrong. I mean, they were maybe Arab and, you know, recent immigrants, like within a few years or something, but they were so Americanized. I mean, the language they use is like, you know, kind of street American
mm-hmm.
dirty language, you know, basically.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like they listen to, I mean, I'm not trying to be insulting, but I mean, it's like, you know, they listen to the music on the radio or something, you know, and
mm-hmm.
picked up that kind of act, you know.
Yeah. But in reality, a lot of the younger generation is becoming more fundamental in their Islamic beliefs than some of the older generations, because I got this one paper here that I just happen to have here where in France, this is just in the month of May, they had a number of Islamic youths age 14 to 18 who broke into a Catholic church, Church of St. Joseph, and then began launching pebbles, handfuls of rocks and stones and pebbles at the people in the service. And they were finally chased out. But, you know, they were in France, and certainly they weren't at an Islamic festival. These people were in a Catholic church service, and they came in and disrupted the service. And that was in France, even though France is quickly becoming an Islamic country. But in other places, in Kuwait, for instance, 2 months after the Grand Mufti of Saudi Arabia decreed, churches in, Kuwait should not exist, that they ought to be destroyed, a number of churches where Western people, you know, Americans, British people like that are worshiping, are being targeted and they're being harassed and they're being evicted without explanation. They're being charged exorbitant fines. And this is happening right now in Kuwait. And I can go on. There's churches set on fire in Zanzibar and just all kinds of stuff, like the opposition. And so, you know, it is occurring. And Islam, in its fundamental sense, is really a religion that needs to take over the world. And there's the House of Islam, Dar Islam, and then there's the House of, I think it's the House of War. And that's everybody that's not there where Islam isn't. And the only way the House of War will become peaceful is if it's under Islam. And we're coming up against the break right there, but certainly there are people who are wanting a more fundamental style of Islam in America, and saying that Sharia law ought to be in America, and they can and do disrupt things from time to time. Well, stay with us for another half hour, Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible
Pretty
Baptist
active
Church
first
in
half
Richfield,
hour.
Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. And hope you'll be able to join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight before we get to our callers here. Got some calls ready. But I want to remind you, we're brought to you, of course, by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor. Certainly invite you to visit us there, and you'll hear more information about the church at the end of the program. And also invite you to tune in to Live with Pastor Al, which is just like this program, only shorter, it's only a half hour, at 1:30 on Friday afternoons right here on AM 1220, The Word. And you can join in the conversation on Live with Pastor Al Fridays at 1:30 in the afternoon until 2, and we'd love to hear from you there as well. Certainly invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. We're also brought to you by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road in North Royalton. And Frank's Antiques there in North Royalton is open Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, noon until 5:30 p.m. And you can contact Frank at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton by calling 440-237-4393. That's 440-237-4393. And let Frank at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton know that you heard about him right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I encourage you to go out and visit him there. All right, well, we're going to get back into our conversation here, and if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call toll-free if you're listening here and across the U.S. So you get calls. We had a call earlier from Mississippi, and or if you're here right here in Ohio where we're broadcasting out of Northeast Ohio, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And we have George in Cleveland, I believe. And George, are you there?
Yes, Pastor.
Hi, George. Welcome.
Hi. You know, as you were talking about the drought, you know, what came to my mind was in James 5:16. It says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And what it did is it took me to that verse that he hath made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So for the believer, righteousness is not a problem. And so I thought in terms of this drought, we could pray as he did and maybe get some rain going on. And
absolutely.
Then I looked above and I had another question or comment, and where do you stand on something like that?
I think absolutely that we ought to pray, because when we have, you know, situations like this, God allows a lot of things to happen in a nation and in an area, really to get people's attention and bring them back to Him. And I think absolutely God's people ought to pray and, you know, try to see what we can do to help draw our nation back to Christ. I mean, we're obviously living in a day, we're living in an age, like the Bible says, the day before the Lord comes back, it would be, you know, before the rapture, it would be like the days of Noah. And, you know, that was a wicked time. Sin was being on the increase throughout the land, and we need to understand that sometimes in Israel's existence, you know, there were times God allowed droughts, He allowed different things to occur to get people to turn back to Him. You know, we live in a day when even people who call themselves Christians are calling good evil and evil good. And we as a nation, and certainly we as believers, we ought to heed what God told the Hebrews in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. He said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their land, or I mean forgive their sin and will heal their land." And I think we can use a prayer like that to, you know, confess our sin. Christians, we've been lax in being salt and light. We've turned a blind eye to wickedness and sin, and we need to repent, turn back to God, and we need to urge people to embrace Christ, and hopefully, you know, God will hear our prayers and heal our land. So,
hey, Pastor, it seems, and like you were saying, in these tumultuous times, that the believer almost we're inundated with so many negative things, you know, all around us, that I don't know that we, or myself as well, realize the great power that we as believers, even one or two or three or 150, have, you know. If our prayer can be as this Elias prayer, then, you know, we can turn this nation around. But, you know, while I was reading this, I happened to look above, and it talks about, is there any sick to let them call for the elders of the church?
Right, right.
let them pray over him, anointing with him with oil in the name of the Lord. And what struck me, Pastor, was, and I didn't notice this before, and it says, the prayer of the faith shall,
mm-hmm.
not maybe, shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he had committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. And then it goes on to, of course, say, confess faults and pray one another that you may be healed. But it just seemed to me what the elders of the church in performing this duty or this act of love, what kind of confidence that they could have in going in a situation like that, just simply because of this word doesn't talk about, well, maybe, and I hope,
mm-hmm.
you could really kind of like get yourselves all together and go in there, you know, flying high, I guess, is what I was thinking.
Well, and of course, this is in the local church fellowship here, and we do have, you know, responsibility to pray one for another in the local church, and we do have a responsibility to pray for our nation. You know, we're challenged to pray for rulers and things of that nature, and yeah, we ought to pray for our country. And
what I'm asking, do you mm-hmm. anoint with oil or do something like that? I don't know. I'm not right now associated mm-hmm. with the church, but, you know, it came to my mind that, boy, this is a strong exhortation of the power of those
mm-hmm.
that, you know, that I guess the elders would be the rulership of the church.
Well, yeah, the elders would be, yeah, the church leadership, the pastors, the deacons, the senior saints in the church. You know, this would be the elders that we're looking at, primarily pastors.
What I'm kind
and
of saying,
deacons.
You could be whooping and a hollering, going in there and coming out. So anyway,
yeah.
I just thought I would throw that in there.
Oh, no, that's a good observation.
Really,
that's a good observation.
Poor expectation.
Yeah, but of course this
God
is...
Bless.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate the calls and the questions and comments there. And, of course, this is an exhortation, or, I mean, a thing in churches where we have a responsibility. And, you know, as opposed to, you know, the national thing, I mean, I kind of can't really go and anoint the country with oil, I guess. But, though in our individual churches, you know, we can confess our faults and we can pray one for another. And do what we need to do, get our own house in order in our local churches. I really believe that if Christians did half of what they should be doing and our own houses would be in order, that would have a direct impact on the families of the members of our churches, and that would in turn have an effect on the local communities, which in turn those local communities can have an effect on the larger, you know, regional, county, and state level, and then eventually on the national level. But it starts, you know, with the individual Christians and their relationship with the Lord and the local church and people getting their hearts right in the local church. And I urge our caller to find a good Bible-believing church. And it's one of the things on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Sometimes we've been able to direct people to churches and sometimes God works things out in that area, but sure appreciate that. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. He'll get you on the air toll free if you got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And we have Jeremiah in somewhere in Ohio. We got Jeremiah in Ohio calling. And Jeremiah, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, welcome.
I'm in a kind of a tough situation where
mm-hmm.
I need God's help in it. I also need his wisdom and also his angels watching over me during a circumstance and a situation that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
It won't happen until about a week from now. So I'm kind of worried about it, and I'm just leaving it up to God to handle it. Hopefully the outcome will be okay.
Well, and certainly we can encourage people to pray for you, because even though we don't know the situation, all the particulars, God knows what the situation is, and we do need to pray one for another, and that's just what we were talking about with the last caller about prayer and the value, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much there in James chapter 5, verse 16. And we also know that God gives his angels charge over his children. In fact, Hebrews 1:14 says, talking about angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So really, Jeremiah, I certainly do pray for you, and hope people out there will pray for you and the situations you've got coming up here shortly, and that God will direct you, guide you, protect you, and see you through this situation for the best possible outcome for you so that you can grow and serve him. But do appreciate that call there tonight. Any other question with that or comment? All right. Oh, sorry? I'm sorry.
It says some people don't like me.
Oh, that's okay. That doesn't matter. You know, we know that God loves everybody. And, in fact, God loved us before we loved him. And so certainly we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, oh, you know God loves you. God likes you, and that's all that counts. People who don't like you, but if your heart's right with God, and you're not living in sin where you have to come under the chastening hand of God, you can trust Christ to watch over you. And you know, another problem that we run into sometimes, and going back to the book of James here, and we got a couple more callers calling in. Let me just comment on this real quick. You know, the Bible says in the book of James that we have not because we ask not in James chapter 4 verse number 2, and we certainly need to remember that. Sometimes we don't ask for things, and then we wonder why God doesn't answer prayers. Well, we never made the prayer in the first place. But we also have to be careful, because James chapter 4, the very next verse, verse 3, says you ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lusts. And so then he says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So if we are saved and we are asking for sinful things. Let me give you a for instance. If, for instance, a man was lusting after another man's wife, you know, you can't ask God to bless that. That's just plain out and out sin. And God is going to judge a person who claims to be a believer. He's already paid for the sin, but the chastening hand of God on a believer who wants God to bless a sinful request, you know, I wouldn't want to be that person. And, can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned, the Bible says. And you know, adultery, for instance, I'm just using this as an example, because it says you lust not and have not. And he says ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. And if you follow that back to Hebrews chapter 12 here, the interesting thing, this is why we have to be careful what we ask for. If we're asking, you know, according to God's word, we can have confidence that God will hear and answer our prayer, bless and watch over us. But if we're asking amiss, then we have to worry about the chastening of God. And Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6 says, verse 5 says, "For you've forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." So chastening is not in and of itself a bad thing, because it's designed to bring us face to face with our sin and sinful desires, so that we can be corrected, so that God can use us. He says, "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." Which means, if you don't get chastened when we ask for sinful things, when we ask amiss, if we don't get chastened for that, then we really don't belong to him. And so somebody who claims to be a Christian and, let's say, wants God to bless a sinful request such as lusting after another man's wife or something like that, if they don't get chastening from that, then they're probably not saved in the first place. But if you are saved, we can expect chastening. And he goes and says, "Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live, which says that if we still persist in asking and being in a sinful state and rebellion against God's word, then the teaching here is that, you know what, God might end your life early and you could be called home, because when a Christian reaches the point where they will no longer respond to the chastening of God, and they'll no longer, you know, obey the scriptures and the teaching of scripture, they reach a point where God can no longer use them, and it seems like they cross a line, and sometimes God cuts their life short. And so that's something we need to be careful of there. But if we're asking, you know, the right reasons, and if we're not asking amiss, we can expect God to bless. And but I appreciate the call there tonight. I got to move on because I just realized I got two more people on the board and only a few minutes left. But we'll certainly pray for you, that God will help you and with your situation, and certainly help you, that he'll help you to see what you need to do, and he'll see you through. But God bless. I appreciate your call tonight. And we've got Nancy calling, and we'll get Nancy and Euclid on here. Got another caller yet. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can call toll-free, 888-677-9673. Nancy, are you there?
Yes, Pastor Al, thank you for taking my call.
Hey, it's been a busy night tonight.
I was thinking about Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalted the nation.
Amen.
But sin is a reproach to any people. I'm just wondering, do you think that this would apply to that dreadful Supreme Court upholding of the mandate when Chief Justice John Roberts, you know, as we all know, became the deciding vote and all of a sudden called this whole thing a tax, when over and over Obama had said, no, this is not a tax? So to me, I don't know if you would say Chief Justice John Roberts sinned, or would you say Obama sinned, when it really is a tax? And
I'm
just confused on that. I wonder if this
There's obviously sin involved somewhere, because somebody lied about something, because when they were trying to pass it, they said it's not a tax, and Obama went on various interviews saying it wasn't a tax, and all the supporters said it wasn't a tax, and now the Chief Justice says it is a tax. And I don't know exactly how he came to that conclusion, but in my understanding of the Constitution, if it is indeed a tax, it's still an unconstitutional thing, because tax bills are supposed to originate in the House, not the Senate, and Obamacare originated, I believe, in the Senate. So even if it was a tax, it should have been thrown out. But I don't know that that would necessarily be the direct cause of some of the things that are going on right now. But sin is a reproach to a nation and to a people, and we're already suffering some of these other things that are going on in the country, these severe wildfires out in Colorado and other states out west, and also the tropical storm Debbie that just flooded large parts of northern Florida earlier this week, and then of course the drought conditions that are striking much of the upper Midwest, and it's so bad in some parts of the upper Midwest that they said that if they don't get sufficient rain, the crops are going to be lost, or certainly the harvest is not going to be very good this year in many of these areas. And I think most of that goes back to our treatment of Israel. Certainly there is a strong correlation as America has blessed the Jewish people, and with the advent of the nation of Israel, there's been a strong correlation with our support of Israel and God's blessing on our nation. And when we've done things against Israel, we have seen, just coincidentally, of course, various natural disasters, economic disruptions and things of that nature occur, you know, just right afterwards.
You know, I think I heard that on Southwest Radio. John McTernan had a series
yes,
on that.
Yes, John McTernan, I would recommend a book, As America Has Done to Israel. We're just finishing that up in our Sunday morning Bible study at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. We've been going through that for the past few months, and he's... You can look him up online. It's John McTernan, McTernan, and you know, just go to Amazon or something and find As America Has Done to Israel. And yeah, there's a very strong correlation there, and I think that has a lot more to do. Also, our allowing, you know, the sin of abortion and the special rights, gay activism that we've tolerated in this country, I think those have had much more, you know, negative impact on our country than the recent Supreme Court decision. But, Nancy, I got another caller in just a few minutes to squeeze them in. Did that help there?
Taking the call. Thank you.
Okay. But I appreciate that and bringing that up. We do need to pray for our country. We do need to be active in the elections coming up this fall. This is a crucial election, and if you don't agree with the direction of our country, you need to get out there and vote. And whatever your view is, if you don't vote, really you don't have much call to complain. But we've got David in Cleveland, and probably be the last call we can get on. I'll have to make it quick here. David, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hi, Don.
Hi, good evening.
I just wanted to ask you a quick question about
yes, sir.
Samuel 7:3.
Mm-hmm.
So, is it okay if I can read it first?
Sure, I've got it right here. Where you're talking about Samuel speaking to the house of Israel?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines.
Yeah, and I wanted to know, is it true that this scripture applies to us today?
Yeah, the principle surely does, because in this particular situation, God had raised up the Philistines as a tool of judgment against Israel because they had departed from the worship of Jehovah God, and they were worshiping false gods, Ashtaroth mostly there. And he allowed the Philistines to persecute Israel to get their attention. He was chastening the nation of Israel, and we can see God chastening our nation today. And yeah, so the principle there, we need to turn from you know, false gods and turn back to the one true God. We need to get our hearts right as a nation, and you know, righteousness exalteth the nation, as we saw under the previous caller. But yeah, you're right, David. I agree that that really does have a principle that applies to us today. And appreciate your call tonight. We're about out of time here. And, of course, you've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Encourage you to join us Friday for Live with Pastor Al, Friday afternoon at 1:30. And join us again here next Sunday night at 11 o'clock for another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Good night. God bless. Happy 4th of July.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.